So we have dealt just now in the second message on the no God false worldview. And for the last message, we want to deal with this false thinking that there are many gods in this world, or the worship of false gods. And the Lord was very keen that the children of Israel be not taken in by such false worldviews concerning many gods, nor to worship false gods. And that is why right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, before the children of Israel would enter the promised land, the Lord made sure that they understood that there is only one real world rule, and that is the God whom they should worship must be Jehovah. And this is something that is very fundamental for the children of Israel to lay upon their heart. In fact, even till today, they would remember Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 very carefully and even memorize it. And sometimes they may even sing it. I remember that when I was on one of the Holy Land pilgrimages, and I was visiting this place called the Yad Vashem. And Yad Vashem is basically the Holocaust Museum, and there was this memorial that was devoted to those who gave their lives right, during the Holocaust. And there was this man that happened to be there, and he was singing Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 aloud. I can't remember, was David there at the time? Because I went on a few pilgrimages, but there was one time where I got to hear it. So that's how I know that, you know, this verse was still very much in their hearts. And this verse is oftentimes called the Shema, and it's taken especially from the first word of verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In fact, right, this verse can also be rendered this way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Right, so, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Right, Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. And what is the significance of the word here? Well, the significance of the word here, right here, is not just to pay attention, right? So, hey, wake up and hear. But also to set upon the heart, right? To form convictions in one's heart, and cling on, right, to this truth, right? It must never be forgotten. And here, the Lord goes on to say, well, firstly, you must know that the Lord is God, right? Jehovah is God. So the Lord is not a teddy bear, nor a Santa Claus. Not just like a man, whereby, you know, it is it's limited in power, limited in wisdom, but he is God. God is God. You must believe that he is. And this God is also your covenant God. Right? He has a relationship with you, and therefore down here, you know, he says the Lord is our God. Right? You belong to him and he belongs to you. So you must remember this relationship that you have. And then, this is where we want to focus today. Also a very important part of the Shema, the Lord is one. What do you mean by the Lord is one? Well, the word one right here refers to how the Lord is unique and how the Lord stands alone, right? There is no one that is like him. And based on this statement, straight away, all gods in this world, they are false gods. Every one of them. Because there is no one that can be compared like to God, like to the Jehovah. There is no one that stands even in the same category as Him. And He is set apart also, therefore, from all creation. And every one of us, we are creatures, we are not God. Only God alone is God. And therefore, by this one statement alone, you realize that the whole concept of false gods and many gods is dismantled. And what are some of these things or worldviews that involve false gods or many gods? Well, one example would be, for example, the belief of pantheism. And pantheism believes that all is God and God is all. Or creation is God, everything is God. Then there are also beliefs in multiple gods among certain cultures. Like for example, I see right here there are many of us, we are Chinese. I'm not sure about Philippines, but for the Chinese, you realize that it is a culture that oftentimes embraces many gods. And just look at Singapore. How many temples do we have? And all the temples are devoted to what? Different deities. Sometimes even historical figures can be deified. Right? We have some historical figures that are deified, right? I need not mention right here. Speech nowadays when things are recorded, I have to be careful. But it's true, right? Historical figures are deified. And then we worship a plethora of gods. In Chinese, there's also the beliefs of Buddhism and Taoism. Now, very interestingly, if you actually look at Buddhism and Taoism, they alone doesn't really purport anything concerning gods. But they are always very accepting of gods. So their philosophy does not exclude the embracing of gods by people, and in fact, there seems to be an encouragement for people to embrace them. Then you have Hinduism, which is a very interesting case, because when I took a look at Hinduism, I realized that Hinduism basically they have, yeah, of course, certain philosophies, but interestingly, they allow people to believe in anything. And so therefore, oftentimes you find that regards to Hinduism, they would embrace many gods. Now, not everyone believes in the same god as another person, but they are allowed to believe anything that they want. If you say you are atheist, okay, no problem. You say you are agnostic, okay, no problem. You say you want to believe in the Chinese gods, no problem. You want to believe in the South American gods, also no problem. You want to believe, include Jesus Christ inside, also no problem. So most of them, just like buying an insurance policy, they will accept as many as possible. Now this one, I remember that most vividly, because during one of the evangelism sessions with the FEBC, I went to a house and there were many different types of statues of gods. And after that, we tried to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with this person. Guess what was the reaction of this person? Oh, thank you very much. I believe. Please say the sinner's prayer with me. Okay. My friend said the sinner's prayer with them, but after that, we went away. We thought, we were not fooled, but to think that that was necessarily a sign of true faith. Why? Because for them, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is not a problem. But whether or not they believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the only God is the key. The person did say, I get rid of all the other gods at home. I will gladly add the God of Christianity into my whole collection of gods. And maybe, and when I meet with a certain situation in life, if one God does not work, maybe the other one will work. It's really like an insurance policy. That those are some of the common beliefs held by people in the world today. And Israel, who are about to go into the promised land, will be surrounded by nations who hold to that kind of belief too. As mentioned just now in the second message, if the Canaanites will worship Baal and Asherah, so really they are two gods. And then you have the Philistines who worship Dagon. And so there will be the many manifestations of gods that will be all around them. Moreover, remember the children of Israel, they were just recently brought up out of the what? Out of the land of Egypt. That's about 40 years have passed. So how things were like in Egypt would probably be still quite fresh. It's just a refreshing of one generation. And the Egyptians were famous also for believing in many gods. In fact, if you study the book of Exodus, you study the 10 plagues, you will notice that every single plague was actually targeted against one of the gods in which they believed in. With the final god that was targeted being Pharaoh himself, right, because he did not even have the power to preserve the life of his firstborn. That was the reason why Pharaoh was not willing to let the children of Israel go. Because to do so, he would admit that his defeat to who? Defeat to Jehovah. I must listen to the command of the Lord. That means I am a lesser God than him. He would refuse to kowtow, therefore, to the God of the Hebrews. And so the children of Israel have been brought up in this kind of environment. And the Lord knew, right, how this could so easily set into their heart. You know, there are a lot of things in which they have to unlearn, a lot of things in which they have to renew and refresh their mind so that they will not be polluted by it. And that's why down here, you must hear and then you must set it in your heart. So much so that with regards to your entire life, your entire being, it must be wholly devoted to God. It must not be divided. And that's why you have, right, verse 5, right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. You know, some they will try to divide all these passages, trying to say, yeah, what is the meaning of heart, what is the meaning of soul, meaning of mind. But I'd like to submit to you all, it's best to just regard everything as a whole. You must understand, you must not miss the forest or the trees, you know. God just simply means your entire being must be wholly devoted to me. That's what it means. In other words, no other gods before me. You must know that there is the Lord is one. That is your worldview, dear children. The Lord is one. Not there are many gods. Nor to worship any false gods, including what? Including gods that purport to be Jehovah, but they're actually not, such as what? The golden calf worship. False worship. When you worship Jehovah in a false way, that Jehovah is actually not Jehovah himself. And to emphasize how important it is that we must be convicted of this. And also the danger in which we can so easily forget this truth. He gave some very practical instructions for the children of Israel to fulfill in order that they may not forget this truth. You know, at verse 7, right? And thou shalt teach them. Now, interestingly, this word teach right here, it's not the usual word for teach. That is a very rare word for teach. Here, this word for teach has the understanding of engraving something upon stone. So in other words, your children of Israel, make sure you teach your children not just accurately or faithfully, but you teach so very diligently to the point whereby your desire is that they may really know it in their heart. It's engraved in their heart. Don't just be satisfied with them, oh, just reciting verses or being able to answer questions. It must be right here in the heart. And that's why, you know, even last night, right, there's emphasis among the young adults. Yes, many of you, I believe, have came out from Ebenezer. Not Ebenezer, sorry, just Tabernacle. YF, right? But don't mistake what is a head full of knowledge with a heart that is truly engraved with the truth of this worldview that the Lord is one. Never ever mistake the truth. For FBC students, never ever mistake your A's for your papers for a true engraving of the truth in the heart. The true engraving of the truth in the heart is more important than what is on pen and paper. That's not to say what is on pen and paper is not important, okay? So, that Greek exam coming up next week, don't have, okay? You may still do well for the exam, but... Sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. Oh, yeah, I heard from UG last night that you brought your Greek stuff to study, right? Yeah, that is still important, okay, but more important the heart. Must be engraved with this truth. The worldview must sink right in. And that is why don't cease, right, from making sure that your children are aware of these things. So here we are talking about young adults. When your children grow up in this world, they will be bombarded with false worldviews everywhere they go. Never ever cease to teach your children these things. Some of you are parents that have been teaching you in this way all their lives. But as you grow up and you yourself have children, don't forget now the duty falls on you. The way the scriptures will describe it is, well, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, basically everywhere you go, make sure that they know this truth. How may this be done? I can't be there with my children all the time, right? Well, the Lord is just simply saying that let your child see your conviction in your life. How you live up your life for God. In the first place, you have the right worldview, and if you really have the right worldview, people can tell just simply by how you live and what, and after that what you declare with your lips. So do that for your children, your young friends. And I believe, like what was mentioned last night, I think another cycle of the young adults will come. The last time I was here was the generation of two of young children. Now, I see young adults, no children yet. I think the key word is yet, YET. Well, when you all start to have children, I pray that you all will not forget this. Very important. Alright? But how may they do it? Well, they themselves must make sure that they don't forget this worldview. And so therefore the Lord gave them this very practical signs to remind them, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes, and this will be the seat that they have, and they will be literally carrying God's word everywhere they go, a copy of the law, Ten Commandments. It's not for them to take it as superstition, but rather to remind them that God's word must be before them everywhere they go. And especially what? In the context of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord, your God, is one. One. Never forget that. In other words, He's one in your life, first in your heart. No other idols. Nothing can take the place of Him. So when you see Baal in the land, when you see Asherah in the land, remember they are false. There's no such thing as many gods, only one. So wherever you go, there is this reminder with you. Front desk between your eyes, on your hands, two God's word on your hand, and then in your house, you shall write God's word on the post of the house and also on the gates. So maybe we should do the same also. I don't think we need to follow exactly, but you know, in the house, how many of you have verses placed around the house? Well, don't let that just be for decoration. Understand what is the meaning and the purpose of it, the significance of it. It's to remind all of you of certain important truths of the Bible that may really be there in your heart. And that constitutes your worldview. So go and buy more for Project Encourage. Right? But don't just buy and put there and after that have it as a decoration. If you really want to encourage those from Project Encourage, live according to what they believe. They hope that all these things will help you to know what is the truth in your heart. That is the world view. The Lord is one. That is what they want you. And so all these are very practical things. Down here. And why have all these things? Well, watch. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all things which thou fillest not, and wells digs which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So what the children of Israel will soon experience is, as they go into the promised land, as they conquer the promised land, you will realize that the Lord will not allow a fast conquest, but a slow conquest. And interestingly, a lot of the battles will be fought outside of the cities. So much so that when the children of Israel enter the cities, all the buildings, all the vineyards, the olive trees, they will be preserved. And the children of Israel will be free to partake of all these things straight away. And one of the things that of war is that when wars are fought, and especially when they are fought in cities and in the fields and everything, all these things get destroyed. But the Lord will ensure that all these things will be preserved. So the children of Israel will get to enjoy all these things. And suddenly they will have the sense of prosperity, right? The people of the world. Well, all these things now belong to me. They did not even build all these things, but they are given on a platter to them. It is when all these things come into your life that you can begin to forget the right worldview, that the Lord is one. And that's where the false worldview of many gods shall come into your life. And did that happen for the children of Israel? Sadly, yes. All it took was one generation. One generation, because after the time of Deuteronomy, after the time of Joshua, is the period of judges. And were they worshipping Jehovah? Yes. But were they also worshipping Baal? Were they also worshipping Asherah? Yes. One of the things that form a very deep impression in my visit to the Holy Land was to the place of Tel Dan. And there at Tel Dan, there was this recreation of the altar which was set up in those days, a false altar. And you know that Dan was supposed to be one of the places where there was the golden calf worship. Over at Dan, there were also two stones. One big stone, one small stone. It was placed somewhere near the vicinity of the altar. The big stone was supposed to represent Jehovah. Already wrong. Because we should not make any graven images and bow down to worship them, even if it's Jehovah. But the true Israel, they had that, the big stone, Jehovah. And they worshipped it. But alongside the big stone, there was also a small stone. And that was the horror of it all. Because the small stone represented Asherah. They were placed side by side. Their worldview was that of many gods, polytheism. How soon have they forgotten that all these things that they had in their hands come from God? And they forget Him. And not only did they begin to think that they got all these things by their own hand, but they begin to think that it's all these other gods of the nation that help their land to be prosperous, to be a land filled with milk and honey. Oh, I need to worship Baal so that my fields will be full. I need to worship Asherah so that I may have a huge family. And they begin to have this worldview when, at which point of their life, when they were prosperous. Interestingly, when they had everything, is where they became spiritually bankrupt. It's where they had their false worldview. Why is this relevant here for all of us? Because we may look at all these people who have all these false worldviews out there in society. Say, yes, all these things are wrong. Whether it be this religion, that religion. Some that say that you believe in this God. And they say, oh, I believe in God, even one God. But, oh, when it comes to Jesus Christ, He's not God, He's just a prophet. There's some who teach this. Jesus Christ is also a prophet in their religion. Then we may talk about all these things, yes. But dear friends, while we talk about all these things concerning the people out there in the world, and we want them to know the truth, what about us? Are we followers of the right worldview? Because while we may not take in all these other gods into our life, do we also have other gods alongside Jehovah, just like the children of Israel? Because we may not have, for example, the gods of what the Hindus have. We may not have the gods of what the other Chinese people may have in their temples in our life. But do we have other idols? Because if you do, you have just allowed yourself to be taken in by a false worldview. All these things are necessary for me in my life besides Jehovah. And you know when is the most dangerous time for us? Now I'm talking about the context of Singapore. It's when you are young adults. Because now, you all just started tasting prosperity. Now, this is a very common problem in churches. When you see those in YF, everyone seems to be zealous. I mean, of course, there were always those that struggle, sure there will be. But majority of them seem to be zealous. Is that not true? Then suddenly, when you come to the young adults, then you start to see people stray in different directions. And then by the time you come to adults, repeat. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to fellowship. Fellowship group meetings now reduced to how many times a week? How many times a month? Well, of course, some of it is natural due to the weakness of God. I'm not saying that having lesser is any sign that the person is not as godly as last time, no. But prayerfully is not because the heart has now been drawn away because of idols in the life. I want to clarify this, because some say, oh, it means that, oh, adults now have less meeting in me. They are now less burden for the God. Don't come to that kind of confusion, no. But at the same time, it is good that we must make sure that it's not because what may seem to be fervency in the past has now died down. Why? Because other things have taken the place of God, or gone alongside God. We may not say that we believe in one Lord, but it is practically in our lives, it has not been manifested in that way. And don't think that God is blind, because here the Lord warns them, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, of course only serve him, and swear by his name. Don't go after gods, especially the gods of the people who are round about you, because remember, I am a jealous God. The glory that belongs to me, you must render unto me. Don't forget that. Did you steal God's glory from him by having a possible view? Because if you do that, then the Lord wants us to know that his anger will be kindled from us, and soon we will suffer the consequences of following after this possible view. Having idols in our life. Being no different from the people of the world. We say, yes, you are a high apostle, you are of many gods. They will come back and they will say, are you as a Christian not the same too? Therefore the Lord says, you have not given me glory among the people. They could not see that the Lord is one. And so therefore my anger shall now abide on you. In your time of your prosperity, dear friends, do not forget God. Once you get the taste of your first faith, forget. And then now, after that, you start to be able to buy your own things. Firstly, you start to realize that now you don't need to depend on pocket money from parents to buy your own things. Soon, you find that you can go to a restaurant to eat. Okay, I know that I have some FPC friends here who struggle. But again, maybe next time in ministry, you start off struggling with food to mouth. But later on, as God allows the congregation to grow, well, of course, naturally the congregation growing, there may be better provision for you. Now maybe there's not so much of a struggle. Will you forget God? Now for those in your careers, you may have forgotten the time where you need to depend on daddy, mommy to give you the pocket money. Then now you can work, you can easily pay for your food on the table. Then soon you find yourself in restaurants. Soon you own your own places of residence. Soon you may even drive a car. And in Singapore, wow, you can drive a car. And, very good, because Singapore car is either the most expensive or second most expensive in the whole world. Car. I need to maintain this now. And yes, I need God. I still go to church on Sunday. But now, I also need money. You know what are the two main false worldviews in Singapore that we have to tear down, especially among Christians? The first, because to many gods, is alongside God, money can also be my God. Number two, alongside God, my mind can also be my God, like what we deal just now, rationally. Because these are the two main gods in Singapore. Our first God is education. And our education is geared towards emphasizing how Singaporeans can make money. And so money becomes the second God. And we evaluate our success in life based on these things: education and money. So when one is primary school, and just primary school, I know nothing. Then after that, PSLE score is good. Now you think you know something. Then go to secondary school. Now I know more. Go to university. Now I know everything. And then go to work. Success at work. See, this is true that I know everything. Education is God. And then now with all this money that is there, I need to maintain this lifestyle. And you begin to judge your life based on all these things. And one of the greatest pains in the heart of a pastor is to see people go in that way. When now, for the sake of having more dollars and cents, people are willing to forgo the study of God's word, the service to God, because they want to also count out at the altar of money. People giving excuses, saying, I cannot serve in this area because it takes up, you know, I need a bit of balance, you know. So I cannot serve in this area. It takes up too much of my energy, but they have enough energy to go for more work experiences, more opportunities to earn money. That one always has time, but no time to render service unto the Lord, not to go and study more of the scriptures. That's why in some sense I'm very happy that you are here. I think this is very healthy, and I pray in True Creepy Church this can continue. Well, we have to run my app that means that children, I see all of you here. Actually, when I came on last night, my heart was very happy because, hey, all different. Almost all, some say, but almost all different. Now, Dr. Franco's children also are not here, so I'm starting to feel a bit old also. But it's very good. But I hope it can maintain. And that's why you all must really take this into heart. Because you are now the ones that really first started tasting it, and now the temptations are really going to be very strong. I am a young pastor, but I have been in ministry for a few years, and I've seen at least one or two generations pass. And I've seen how those going to young adults suddenly change or are really changing in life. In the past, they don't have businesses, but now they start to have their business. Business becomes more important. I also have a young man telling me, serving the nation is the most important. This person was in the army. Serving the nation is most important. When you ask to come to attend fellowship groups, serving the nation is more important. Mentioned a few times. But this young man was very zealous when he was in the youth fellowship. But now serving the nation is more important. Career, the God. And to put it bluntly, money is the God. But when the time comes where they can go overseas for holidays, they go. Can take leave for holiday, no time for church camp. If that is not a false worldview where there are many gods in one's life, Then what is it? They say, oh, pastor is saying that I cannot go to Japan or Korea or Taiwan. Then become very angry with the pastor. Oh, pastors must be every time in the church. Nobody is saying that. But where, dear friends, are your priorities in life? It, therefore, is very revealing of your worldview. Whether it is a one God worldview, whereby that God is the Jehovah. That's why here, O Israel, the Lord must be the right God, not any other God. The Lord, the right God. He is our God and He is one. Is that your worldview? In the end, your decisions in life will reveal what exactly is your worldview. So young adults, you have to realize, especially now that you are coming in, you are on the cusp of this very great challenge. And if you don't face this challenge well and devote it to the Lord and be convicted in your heart to hear this truth, that the Lord, your God, is one Lord, just like Israel, then by the time you come to adults, that's where you will fade away. And the testimony of the adults shows you that this challenge is real. As a young people, you know, it's good sometimes to inform the YF, never be so arrogant and say, how come the adults are like this? Because reality is, you look at Israel, you see what the reality has happened to Israel, the reality also happens in the church. So you all have just heard the message on career, right? I think this. It's a good message, faith that does not work. You want a faith that works, you must have the right worldview. And you must not forget this worldview. The rest of your life right now is really a test of the conviction of this worldview. Now the time of the deep instruction which your parents, your spiritual parents, have tried to instill in you, a bulk of that time has passed. Now of course they will still continue to do it, but that time has passed, you all have grown up. Now, will you forget, or will you go after all this God? Money. Education. My mind is God. So that's why we talk about money, right? Now, my mind is God. So now, when it comes to the preaching and teaching of God's word, you know what is a common phenomenon in church right now? If it doesn't fit what I am thinking, I will reject it. So when the pastor preaches and is faithful preaching, oh, this is what the pastor thinks, this is not what I think. Then why must you follow only what the pastor thinks? Why can't I follow what I think? Yes, the pastor's preaching is biblical, it's according to the scriptures. But he must also hear my voice. What nonsense is this? I've heard that before and it breaks my heart. You read the scriptures just now, Psalm 14. Who is it that judgeth? It is God that judgeth us. Not we judge God. You look at the scriptures, and then you say, I think that this is what the scriptures say. Although I agree that whatever I preach is biblical, there's no disagreement that whatever I preach is biblical, but no, this is what I think. So in the end, what are you trying to say? It's my mind that judge. It's my mind that is God. Not to let God judge me. It's another form of rationalism. When the mind is God. And because we have allowed all these things to subtly creep into our life, and it's because it's part of what society teaches. So now it comes to the church. No wonder there is so much argument against the faithful preaching of God's word. Sometimes it's so sad to hear that after the faithful preaching of God's word, a lot of the time is spent saying, hey, you know, this pastor, firstly, is not according to 3-point sermon. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6 is not according to 3-point sermon, you know, this passage here. I cannot agree, you know, with what is said. You know, the pastor is attacking me. The pastor said this thing is wrong, that thing is wrong. So much of time is spent there instead of hearing, hey, is this what is taught? Is it biblical? Yes, this is biblical. Yes, this is true. Yes, this is the right worldview. So therefore, I should follow it and do it. So little talk about this, so much talk about criticism. Why? Because the mind is wrong. And then when there is this talk about attacking the materialistic lifestyle, just simply refuse to accept and go that way. And after that, we still have the cheek to tell people, I don't love money. Who are you kidding? So, dear friends, ultimately, when we come to the end of all this session, is you have to be very honest with yourself. What exactly is your belief right here in your heart? These things that we have talked about in this retreat, they are not new, but they are done in such a way whereby it's presented in the context where, right now, as young adults, these are the things that you are now facing. And the time for being a child, let's put it bluntly, when you are a child, are children, yes, there's some of the teenagers, they think that they are like adults, but actually they are children, still very young, but now that time is over. It's time for you to take responsibility for your actions and really ask yourself this sincere question: do you really believe what the Lord says right here, that He is one? And ask the Lord, bow down before Him. Look how easy it is for the children of Israel to stray from this true worldview. Please guard me from this truth. Help me throughout my life to really abide by this truth and to live it faithfully all the way to the end. For if I do not dismantle such false worldviews within myself, how can I be used of thee to also dismantle the false worldviews of others in this world? It's not possible. So I pray that such retreats like what you all have will continue. This part of what will be helpful for us in terms of maintaining this right worldview. I'm glad that y'all make the time to come. I'm especially happy to see Robert here. He can take off and then he's here. I'm glad it's not just for him, I think off days are very precious. He's here, he's good. I'm also glad that the FPBC students are here. They could have studied the assignments, you know, and then stayed away, but come here to have this retreat to encourage one another is good, because you all know that the heart is important. Well, keep that up. And as you all go on to the next phase of life, I think at least one of you is getting married. Is Michelle here? Getting married soon, right? Well, the Lord bless you. Don't forget that the Lord is one. Sometimes a lot of times people say marriage counseling. They like to show this man or whatever. Actually, in the end, it's very simple. You all know the teachings of marriage. If you can bear in mind that the Lord is one, no problem. Very simple. Form good convictions about these things. And if you all do, I'm very sure that the next few years of all of you, growing up as a as a true YF will be very blessed news. The Lord may grant one more, at least one more good generation to praise Him, to magnify the Lord, and as well as the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good. Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy precious word in which You have given. And Lord, we do confess that oftentimes, O Lord, though the truth is presented before us, yet how slow, O Lord, we are to receive it in our hearts, and to cling on to that which is false as purported by the world. We know, O Lord, that we should not have two masters in our life, and yet how oftentimes we are like the rest of the world, to have many gods with us. Please, O Lord, forgive us of our sins, and help us, Lord, to wholly devote our heart in the seeking of Thee. Let every idol that is upon the throne of our hearts be torn down, and may the Lord Jesus Christ be the only one to be magnified in our lives. So right now, Lord, even as we end of this message, we pray that Thy word will take good root in our hearts. And as we dismiss from here, O Lord, to have a time of fellowship over lunch, please grant a most blessed time of seeking of Thee. And we pray, Father, that all these discussions may be profitable, and that it may lead us, O Lord, to a better understanding of Thy will for us, and that Thy children also will be moved and convicted in our hearts to always walk in Thy way. So we commit, Lord, these things into Thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.